First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 8th, 2019. Mark chapter 4, Hidden.
Please rise. Readings from Mark 4, verses 26 and 28. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like unto a man who cast seed upon the soil. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, and the head, and the mature grain in the head. Let me see.
Thank you very much. This Bible passage, titled Hidden, because it talks about things that aren't obvious, or like we talked about last week, things that we think we know, we think we understand, but we're missing something. Things happen unexpectedly, and sometimes we can't understand how circumstances happen. So the story is just how things worked out, how God was merciful. So often, holiday season is a time of parades. Yes, I'm not a big parade person, but we've been to parades before. Macy's on television, Thanksgiving, the day after that. Nicole Hornback was attending a high school homecoming parade when she noticed her two-year-old son, Clark, began to choke on a piece of candy. You know, so often at parades, you'll have people going down with a wagon, tossing hard candy out. Well, Clark got a piece of hard candy, unwrapped it, put it in, but instead of chewing it or sucking it, nope, and it stuck in his throat. Mom says, I was sitting right next to him. I just happened to look over. No noise, no coughing, no breathing. And so she herself, you know, she's like a lot of people, had some training. So she grabbed a kid, Heimlich maneuver, doesn't work. Turn him over, nothing's happening. So all of a sudden her kid starts looking different. And she screams. At that moment, a float is going down in front of her where cheerleader Tyra Winters, a senior at Rockwell High School, is waving. The cheerleader wave. As she's doing that, she looks, and at that moment, she crosses in front of the mom who is screaming for help. And from the float, she could tell his face was turning purple. What did this cheerleader do? She stopped her wave. She jumped off the float. She ran. She says, I ran down to the kiddo, and I was like, I got him. I grabbed him from the mom, tilted him, and gave him a good 3 back thrusts. Because see, she had had extra training, first aid. And he ended up spitting that piece of candy back. The mom said, she saved my baby. I commend her for being a teenager and being trained. So just everything worked out like it was planned. God is merciful, and sometimes things happen that way. In your Bible, Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 21 through 29 as we look at Jesus talking about things that sometimes seem hidden, but really should be displayed. Jesus continues some of the themes that he had been talking about at the parable of the sowers. Jesus telling parables, telling stories, trying to get people to see and understand things in a memorable kind of way. And he was saying to them, remember earlier, Jesus had been speaking to a crowd, and then when the crowd began to thin out, he took his disciples and the immediate group that was traveling with them and began to speak to them clearly and plainly so they would learn to think, to listen, to pay attention to what he was saying, so they would learn truth, spiritual lessons. So he's trying to work with this group of people that are his disciples and following him and want to be close to him, but he wants to turn them into listeners. Listeners, because remember, it's the word of God that makes the difference. It's sown, how it reacts in us, how we treat it is what's most important. Jesus had just spoken of fruit bearing in the parable of the sower. He's going to be talking about similar kinds of things in this chapter. Fertile hearts, he seems to say, are like shining lamps. Hearts and lives should both be fruitful. And you can see that image. People don't light a lamp. The intention is not to hide the truth, but to let it shine to benefit others. And when Jesus is speaking about this, he is speaking to people who didn't have as near a big house or an apartment as you have or you live in. He's speaking to people who have a very limited amount of resources. It's interesting when you study this passage and Jesus is talking, what he actually is saying is he speaks again to people who are used to small place, not having much. He is using the word the with each one of these nouns as if they only had one of these. The lamp is not to be brought under the basket, the only basket that you have. And it's not to be hid under the bed, the only bed that you have. Is it not to be brought, to be put on the lampstand that you have? So he's speaking to people who don't have a lot of resources, who just have a few things. And he's saying, listen, no matter what, no matter how much you have, no matter what you've got, you have truth. You have the Word of God, symbolized by the seed, symbolized by the lamp, but you have truth. You have truth that can make a difference, that can impact. When it's seen as a seed, it comes out to be beneficial, to feed and to satisfy many. As the lamp, it keeps you from darkness so that you can see things, you can shine and help people see, understand God's glory. What causes hearts and lives to shine? It's the Word of God asserting its influence in those same hearts and lives. That's the point of what we're going to see in these few verses and the previous section about the sower. It's the Word of God influencing, making a difference. Word is symbolized here as the lamp. The Word and the lamp, see, were being craftily hidden by the rabbis. Jesus was saying, don't listen to all the things that they say, especially don't follow some of the examples and all these things. Pay attention to what God has said. Don't add, don't subtract, pay attention. Psalm 119, your word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Used as intended, light is supposed to shine. So we too should let that written word spoken by God through his prophets, through the others, take full control over life, spilling light that will not be unnoticed. It should make a difference. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. The point of this is, God brings things into the open. God exposes things for what they are. God exposes his truth as being reliable, and God exposes us as our relationship to our level of connection with his word. How much light do we show? How much fruitfulness do we have for ourselves and to help others? We're so used to hiding things. Some things we hide to keep them safe. You lock things up, put them in a safe, your door has got a key entry or device entry. Do you keep those things because you want people taking your stuff? On the other side, aren't you glad that everybody doesn't know every thought that comes into your mind? Aren't you glad that everybody doesn't hear every word that comes out of your mouth or has a video that shows everything you've ever done? We sometimes like to hide those things because sometimes we abuse truth. We do not do the things that we should. Jesus tells his followers, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He's going to repeat that on occasion. And again, the point of that is, think, listen to what I'm saying. Why would I be saying it? Why would I be talking to it? Take care to what you hear and listen to. He's appealing for them to pay attention because Jesus doesn't speak to them every day. Jesus is only going to be with them for a brief period of time. They need to reflect. What has he said? What does he mean? What should they do? Because Jesus didn't speak in a vacuum. Jesus spoke so that people would respond. He's appealing to them for their spiritual perception to sharpen. When he says, take care what you're listening to, he's not meaning, which playlist am I on? He is telling them, listen, I'm talking. I don't talk like this all the time, and I'm not going to talk like this where you can hear me very long. He wants them to put the energy in to listen. You know, it's hard to listen because so often when we're talking to somebody, where's our mind? What we're going to say next. I'm just patiently waiting for you to stop so that I can take over the conversation and tell you what I want to say next. And Jesus says, don't do that. If I'm talking, There's spiritual value to it. You need to stop, you need to think, and you need to listen. And he's going on and saying to them, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. Whatever we're listening to will affect how we think and how we act. So Jesus says, I'm telling you things that are important, they're invaluable. So of all the things you're going to hear today, I want you to listen. Like the girl that was on the float. She didn't really hear, but she saw, she perceived what was going on. She hopped off and she acted because she knew what to do. And if you have God's truth, you should know what to do. And do the things that are most important. Jesus is making a contrast now about things that are good, shaken down, to be measured. Luke 6 has a similar concept in a parallel passage. Listen, if we only think of bad things, critical things, negative things, we'll be more likely to judge rashly and condemn. We may be wrongly measuring things and people. Jesus is saying, give, it is given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It says the ones who are kind, merciful, will be more likely to have a favorable view in God's eyes and in others. The way we measure them, the way we measure others will influence how we are measured. I think it's much more clear in Luke 6:38. You can see similar words in these verses. We all desire to be given much. Amen? The kids, they're smart. Yeah, presents. Presents at Christmas. Why do people give gifts? God gave us the gift of His Son. We need God to give us things, to be merciful to us, to be patient with us, to give us more understanding. And Jesus says, listen, how you hear these things as you're paying attention, listening and responding, God is noticing and He will respond to you in some way as a result of how you are responding to what He's done. For whoever has, more shall be given. And whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken from him. In spiritual matters, standing still is not possible. If we think we have made it and achieved it all, the Bible says, take heed if you think you stand, because you might all of a sudden fall. We're either gaining or losing. There's no in between. John 17:16, that's the verse you see on the side here. Jesus expressed confidence in his disciples. He prays to them, to his Father, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Their faith was accompanied by weakness, just like ours. Just like ours. They had errors, they had many flaws, but they did have faith. It would be tested, it would grow. That was the point. Jesus is talking about the sower, talking about things happening. He's going to get into that again in a minute. We don't always see how things happen, but if there is the seed of faith that has planted, that is growing, that is alive, that shows you have eternal life, you will change. To not use this faith perhaps sees it as lost. If we think we've achieved mastery, we'll fail to practice. We will lose our skills. He says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts his seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. Emily, you've been going to school. You know how all this stuff works, right? Germination. Rats open is a monocotyledon and a dicotyledon and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? How that works? We have an understanding, but what makes it happen? God says, I planned it this way. And Jesus is going to use this as an illustration. Again, we've talked about in spiritual matters, where they're standing still, moving or going. It's impossible. This section is called the parable of the seed growing in secret. And it's not like it's a surprise. But how do things work? It has three lessons for us to see in this passage. What are the three lessons? Growth is a mystery. The seed, remember, this is all the imagery God is using for His word, His truth. The seed is potent in itself. And harvest time ultimately reveals the seed's success. Jesus, again, is describing God's rule. Here's another illustration of what the kingdom of God is like. He is saying this reign over hearts and lives is mysterious in some ways in its growth. What's our job? Our job is to spread the seed. So here, remember in these days, we talked about how a person generally in the spring and fall will be sowing wheat or barley, and those are days that as long as the ground is relatively clear, the big sack goes around his neck, and you just be reaching in and hot. Sower told it, you know, what's going to happen when it hits, that depends on what the soil is like. But the sower is growing, and what happens to that seed when it hits? What's going on? Well, imagine the seed is spread, and in the New Testament, farming is oftentimes seen as a job that is a job demanding patience. Because you can't make it rain. You can't make the sun shine. You can't always keep the bugs away. You have some influence, but ultimately, all these things are things that the farmer is waiting for. By the way, you hear that phrase, let George do it? The Greek word for farmer is George, Georgos. So that's how that name came into so many languages, is the person who is the farmer, the person who is casting, and the person who is waiting. In this parable, in this story, Jesus is saying the farmer has no control over the process of germination and growth. He casts the seed and he goes to bed. He waits. The seed is sprouting and growing. A dead soil somehow transforms into living plant cells, really without that farmer's assistance. He casts it in and he waits. And he watches. What does a farmer do? Trust and wait. But he has to spread the seed, otherwise there's nothing going to happen. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Interesting, what is Jesus saying? I told you there's some words that, how you translate them, whatever, so we'll just bring them right into English. The soil produces crops by itself. The first word in that verse, if I said the Greek word to you, it's automatike. Automatically, that's where that word comes from. It's something that happens, poof, pretty much by itself, without any visible cause, without I didn't do anything, and poof, it just happened. So that's the point that is being made about this seed. What is a seed? Remember, the seed is symbolizing God's word, God's truth. Sometimes we try to help God's words or help God's truth and change them and make them too adapted to things. But Jesus says, listen, trust the truth. Trust the process. Trust the message. Trust the gospel. Because this is what makes a difference. This word automatically only comes up one other time in the New Testament, Acts 12:10, when Peter's in prison and poof, somehow immediately the door opens and he's able to get out. He's able to leave prison. Jesus is saying the secret of growth is hidden in the seed itself that's implanted in the earth. Those who spread the truth, the word, faithfully watch and wait, and then suddenly, poof, it begins to sprout and show its power over lives. As people have received the, even the other verses, we'll talk about the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The message that God has, his words, by themselves have power that the heart that receives them and responds to them will find guiding, shaping, and working in their lives as the Spirit is allowed to work. Note the progress. In agriculture, growth is often so slow, it's imperceptible. When I was in school, I'm like every other kid. You bring a thing from home. You put the seed in, you put some water in it, you put it in the window in class, and then you wait. Some kids, their seed never grew because the teacher said, every day, make sure it's in the light, and we were responsible to water our little seed. Not too much, because we'd flood it out and kill it. Not too little, we wouldn't have enough so it would grow. But she just did it, and what's going to happen? Did seed grow?
No.
Seed grow?
No.
And then after, yeah, a couple of weeks, something starts busting out. Look, my seed is sprouting. And Jesus is saying, that's how his word works. We keep feasting on the word, letting the word be exposed to our hearts. We pay attention. We read our Bible. We think, what does God want me to do? We let the words we see begin to affect and guide and move in us. And this growth sometimes in agriculture is so slow, imperceptible. So once the seed is planted, successfully, growth is inevitable, even though it seems very, very slow. And as soon as the harvest comes, boom, when the time is ripe, they go out and get the harvest. If you wait too long to harvest certain things, they spoil in the seed, right? And then the same thing, if you take it too soon, it's not ready. What's the point? Wait. Wait for God and His truth to go about its business. For us, the Word, the seed, the light must not be hidden but be brought out into the open. That's how they help people. Salvation is pure grace. God ever adds gift to gift because He's a gracious Father to His own. To us, this rope seems like it takes forever. But it takes effect and affects its hearers in a way that sometimes we can't judge, we don't know, understand, some people more quickly than others. But once we have trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us, God's words begin to affect and change us. Harvest is assured. What do? Sleep, rise, trust that word, see what God would have for us. And God does His work of transforming. Because the seed itself, the gospel, the word, the Bible itself, is what makes the difference. Do you have one of these? I sit by one of these every night before I go to bed, midnight, hops up on the couch, sits there, looks at me, hoping I'll pass on some food or that I'll drop something on the floor for. Dogs do some things better than people. And the thing people most like to talk about is how dogs have a far better sense of smell than we do. And there's a physical reason for that. Years ago, I've done a lot of things, and I don't sense odors very well. So if something's bad smelling in the house, in the mercy of God, I don't know. And my family says, why don't you take it? Well, I don't smell anything. Is there something there to smell? So I'm worse than most people. But our sinuses have about 6 million receptors that sense those chemical odors around us. In a dog has 300 million receptors in only its snout. Not in its head, but in its nose. The dominant sense with which we perceive our world is generally what we look and what we see. With a dog, it is its nose. A human can walk down the street and maybe we get some flowers are growing, somebody's cooking out, ooh, somebody needs to throw the trash away. But a dog on the same sidewalk will understand every dog or animal that has been in that area. Come back over here, leave that alone. Come back over, stay with me. So many more interesting things. I know how you smell, the dog says. There's another fresh smell over there. Dogs and humans have different levels of ability to perceive smells. We also have differences in how we perceive other things. Sometimes people really respond to hearing. Sometimes people have a ability to understand how other people are feeling. Some people are readers, and if they read it, bang, that's really how they get it. For me, if there's a news story and, oh, let me read you the video, I don't want to read the video, I want to read the story. If I read the story, I will understand and remember it better. So I'm that way. Most importantly, sometimes it seems that some of us have greater ability to perceive things spiritually for one of our many reasons. Sometimes it just takes longer. Sometimes we can enhance that as we devote ourselves to prayer, from reading God's word, from doing something about what we have read. Some people have greater spiritual discernment because God just has blessed them with different things. There's a lot of reasons why we don't all have the same ability to perceive God's truth. But the point is, work on whatever God has given you. If you're a reader, if you're a doer, if you're a personal encounter person, whatever does, let God's word have its effect. Do what is necessary for God to touch our lives.